going, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney. It's time for Championship. We've got there, we've got through the leagues, we've got through the spring for the most part. Weather isn't getting any better yet, but the Provincial Championship's throwing this weekend with 9 games. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, are you excited?
Buzzing, Tom.
Happy Easter, everyone.
I'm just back to work today after a lovely week off. 10 days off.
Whoa.
So beautiful.
Okay.
The depression levels were high last night and this morning, so I must say.
Okay. You know, look at you. You look top of the world there, as usual. Did you go away? Were you abroad or just enjoying the kingdom?
I have Lanzarote next month, so we're keeping quiet till then.
Oh,
we're just going to miss each other. I think we're getting to Lanzarote next week. You might be in trouble. O'Leary might put a cap on the flights by the time you're gone.
We're Aer Lingus.
Yous have some life, lads. Yous have some life. Jimmy, Aer Lingus, first class over to Lanzarote. Jeez.
Paddy, no
doubt.
I'm
in the wrong game here, friends.
No doubt. You'll be
well, GA Plus and things lets us watch the games abroad, you see, that's why.
That's good.
It's a brilliant
platform. It is a really, really, really good platform. We'll never be that far apart, lads. Even when you're over there, you'll see my mug talking about hurling or something.
I just have to try and pick the right Irish bear to watch it in, because there's plenty over there, isn't there?
Once it's streamed legally as well, friends, just for the record there, like.
Okay.
It won't be. Well, you can just see plenty. It's like the Sky Sports, and they put the glass in the bottom of the of the screen, just sellotaped on. Shabbily.
None of that for GA Plus. Disgrace. Anyhow. But all good. Great week ahead.
Yeah. All good. All good here as well. And we've got 9 championship games this week. I think,
come around so fast, isn't it?
Let's just get into it, because the world, there's obviously a lot going on in the world at the minute. We'll just avoid that, I think, here on the pod. So if anyone's listening in and, they're being maybe delayed by protests this afternoon driving home, just take your time on the road, tune into the pod, let us bring you through the first weekend of championship, try not to get too frustrated, and try and just distract yourself from everything that's going on.
We do have the golf as well, though. It's a good week for the golf. That's always nice. I know Tyrone Armagh Sunday is beautifully timed, or Sunday leading into the final round of the Masters, so it's a great sporting week.
It's beautiful. I got to play last Thursday and Friday. Very fun. 2 classics, Tommy, Champagne Scrambles.
You play 3 times a week, every week.
I don't, James.
Yes,
I was off.
And if you're not Lanzarote, you're playing golf.
Thursday and Friday are my day off.
It is some weekend this weekend, though. Do you see the thing that's on Saturday? There's obviously the football, the soccer, and the golf. Furies fighting that night. It's just
is he still going? Jeez.
Mega. Day Saturday, and then Sunday obviously brilliant as well. We're lucky.
No, it's going to be class. I love the build up to Augusta. Just even watching the players in the range yesterday, warming up, all the previews. Yeah.
Is be watching tonight, about be watching them talk about that dinner tonight. Like, that's, I'll be glued to that for 2 hours. Yeah.
do you know the way Augusta? Obviously, there's positives and negatives to it, but they've just preserved their traditions over the years, and they're very exclusive. It's a bit of a stretch to compare Augusta to the provincial championships a little bit. We know what we're getting.
They're timeless.
They're timeless. They have the maybe not. Maybe that
there's nobody trying to get rid of the Masters. Scrap the Masters. Too old, sick of them.
Yeah. Their own sport has not tried to cannibalize them for the last decade straight.
The one thing I'd say is, unless you want to give us a Masters preview, Paddy.
Though we don't have time left. Like, as you say, Tim, there's too much going on in the world. Well, in fairness to provincial championships, I think there's a good buzz around them. Always Ulster Championship was always the go-to one. Cork getting back into Division 1, bit of consistency. You're looking at more than likely a big Munster final. No disrespect, as Mikey Conroy would say, total disrespect to everyone else in Munster, but you're looking at a Cork-Kerry Munster final in Killarney, and Cork could possibly do something. The Connacht Championship, Andy Moran's story, the Rossies under new management have a bounce, and then the Leinster Championship, the first time in a long time. There's 3 real contenders. There's other, Westmeath play Longford this weekend, big game, could see an upset there as well. So the provincial championships, to be fair to them, are probably in the best shape they've been in terms of anticipation in a long time, which is good. Should they still be kept? That's a totally different conversation, but
yeah.
looking ahead to the weekend, it's an exciting time ahead, yeah?
Yeah, we might press pause on that conversation for now. The one thing I'd say is that the provincial championships launches were on over the last few weeks, and we managed to get a wealth of interviews and content at them. They can be difficult ones sometimes for players going up and chatting, but I will just say that there's hours of interviews now up across Off the Ball this week, and just got some really great stuff from, especially in Leinster, the Offaly camp, the Loud camp, the Wexford camp. Owen Nolan, I was chatting to there, and their rise over the last couple of seasons. Shane Tierney from Offaly was great value. James, he was talking about, last year, I think it was last year, Offaly were in the Division 3 final, and you were raving about their forwards and the buzz in the camp that week that, you know, there was actually a bit of coverage about their team, you know, and sometimes it's so difficult to cover the teams in the lower divisions because we don't get eyes on them. We don't get eyes on these players, but Offaly have obviously had a lot of injury troubles over the league, and he was just talking about Mickey Hart, Paddy. And how Mickey Hart has just settled them during it with a couple of things about how good we could be when we get everyone back and just how much
experience
belief that gives you.
Like, Mickey Hart tells you something. You're a young player, Mickey Hart comes in and tells you this is the way of the world. You're going to listen to that, to be fair to him. So they have stalled a little bit. You know, they were at the brilliant success story of winning that 20s All-Ireland. They won the Division 3 title last year. But the challenge for both them and Kildare, they got relegated straight back down this season. The Leinster Championship is competitive, but there's, you feel like Meath and Louth have moved up, Dublin have come back a bit. There's probably a drop off then to the likes of Offaly, Laois, Kildare, Westmeath. So still a tough place to be in. But that's the exciting thing for every player and inter-county player at every county. They've gone through the slog, and the league can be a slog. It's a brilliant competition, but there's times in January and February where you're training and it's heavy going. And it's 4 weeks like this championship. Sun is shining up in Dublin. Pitches are harder, and it's championship time, and it's a special, it's an envious time. You don't miss a lot from your playing days, but getting into championship season it's a special time for players. So I'm not surprised there's a buzz around the place, particularly if you've Mickey Hart in your corner.
Yeah,
but you know,
sure.
Even the body by fellas now will be so different to what it was earlier in the year. So you have a bit of football played. The ground is hardening up. The skills are better. A lot of the top counties have probably been on a training camp and are home.
Mm.
You know, at this time of year, it's probably about getting your mind right and sharpening up the skills rather than worrying about anything else. It is a very exciting time. And like, in fairness to all the provincial championships this year, I think it's going to be interesting. Even when I was kind of started following football at the start, the Leinster Championship was where it was at because it was so... Anyone could beat anyone. It was up and down. It was in and out. And it was just exciting. The North
naughty
is obviously team. Always...
What about Naughties? What a... That Leinster period. Micah won with Laois, you know, 3, Paddy, you know, 4 with Westmeath. That time?
Yeah, that would have been a great time.
Yeah.
That was a great championship. And Dublin weren't...
We
you know, the, everyone, then, Dublin were looking to come, but they weren't quite there. And the North, then, like, the Ulster Championship is going to be... Obviously, Donegal are going to be big favourites, but there's so many good teams there of the same level. A lot of them now are into Division 2, but it's still the biggest slog of a championship by a mile. And then Munster, Kerry Cork is going to be a day that we're looking forward to if it does come about. Obviously, the other counties are going to be hoping that doesn't happen, but back in Killarney, Kerry Cork Munster final will be so exciting. So there is so much to look forward to. And then London and Mayo in Ruislip. That's going to be, like, that is a savage weekend. I'd love to go over that. Tom should be over there at the pod, for God's sake.
I agree, James. I agree. We didn't get a shout this time. Sometimes there's pubs or people flirting with bringing the pod over, but there was none about London this time. We are in Meath, in Trim, in McCormick's, which is going to be very nice on the 17th of April. That's sold out now. Yeah, so we're back in McCormick's, and we'll be looking ahead to the Leinster quarterfinals in 2 weeks' time. But you're right, James. We're not in London. And Paddy, you're not in New York. GA Plus are doing road shows in New York this week ahead of their coverage. And you missed out on that junket.
Are they? Who's gone over there?
I've never been as devastated.
It's not like you.
No, I couldn't go.
Was it immigration trouble?
No, I don't think we didn't get that far. It's like we're doing this four nights, couple of things on, yeah, and obviously the Rossies playing New York on Sunday, but I was only in Lisbon last week. It was a hard sell at home with the two babies, and my actual job, we've a couple of things going on at the minute as well. couldn't make New York work. Now, but they're heading off on Thursday. Devastated.
Who's going over? Who's actually on the plane?
A good crew. I can't say for now. There's a live show on Saturday, Friday night, which will be on GAA Plus. But for some reason, I'm told not to say anything. But you'll see on Friday. And then they obviously, GAA Plus have the Mayo game on Saturday and the Rossies New York on Sunday. But I won't be there, unfortunately.
Okay.
Won't be the same. Okay. Won't be the same without you, Benny.
Won't be the same. Yeah. There's 9 games this weekend, lads, and we're going to try and rattle through them as best as we can. On Saturday, as James mentioned, London, Mayo and Ruislip, the tickets for that one were snapped up so quickly, and there'll obviously be such a strong Mayo and London contingent over there interested in the games themselves, and Irish people living over in London. Offaly Laois, 6 p.m. in Tullamore. That London-Mayo game is live on GAA+. On Sunday then, Limerick and Cork in the Munster Championship in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 2 p.m. And at the same time, Waterford and Tipperary, this rivalry is really brewing it down there. You want to see what the Waterford 20s and minors have done to Tip in the last 2 weeks? We'll be coming back to that one in a couple of minutes. That's at 2 p.m. in Fairfield. Then in Leinster on Sunday, we've Carlow against Wicklow and Dr. Cullen Park. Paddy, how tight is the tunnel in Dr. Cullen Park?
It's a safety hazard, I feel. It's been a long time since I've been through it. We played a lot of underage. We used to always lose to Laois in underage, and it was always in that fucking stadium. But a very cool tunnel goes down under.
Technical.
I'd imagine it's still the same. I presume it's still the same. But for a derby like that, it could. I'd say that tunnel has seen its fair share. Do you know where's a very similar one? Ballybuffet.
Yes.
As well, if you come out of the clubhouse dressing room, the dressing rooms are kind of in the clubhouse behind the stand. So you come out through a little car park and you go down through there.
I recorded a piece.
Few bumps and bruises in that tunnel as well. Yeah,
I recorded a piece with Eamon McGee at the edge of the tunnel before his tunnel, after it.
He has a few marks on those walls, I'm sure.
After a championship game, neither of our shoulders could fit in the tunnel itself, so he had to go sideways through it. So I'd say there was plenty of fun coming in and out of that one. If there was a game, I'm actually away this weekend, so I'm not at a game. But if I was going to a game this weekend, I'd love to be launched down to Carlow and Wicklow. I think it's going to be the most colourful game of the weekend. I think it's going to be blood and thunder, competitive. Wicklow sickened to have missed out on promotion. Carlow did go up and produce a very good performance in the Division 4 final to get over the line. I think that one's going to be a cracker. And then Longford-Westmeath.
Is there a bit of pressure on Carlow, Tommy? They've had a brilliant campaign. Joe Murphy obviously spoke at length about the journey that team have been on. Now it's a big championship game at home. And Oisín McCann was Wicklow. He's been there a while. No doubt, like a key goal for them was to get promoted, and they've missed out. That I feel like Carlow have won the league. You want to back it up with a championship win? There's a bit more context to that match than maybe in previous years. If both teams were struggling, I feel like their scores are settling. There's a bit of pressure on that.
Yeah, no, you absolutely. I fully agree.
Floating into that championship game as well, though, after finishing the league on a high. You know, I know you're saying there's pressure on, but if they do flip it the other way, you're just on. You're on a cloud because you're playing so well and you're just coasting into it on a high. You know, I'd actually, you're rather going in like that than trying to chase something or, you know, when you're up
like having an edge. Wicklow will have an edge there. We're better than these guys. You know, the Michael Jordan, I took that personally.
Wicklow performed very well, you know, in the latter stage of the Tatton Cup under Oisín McConville. They have Frankie Dolan in with them. Mark Jackson and Nets, who's kicking two-pointers from the deck. Kevin Quinn, who I caught up with last week. I think there is a right side there in Wicklow to get things together. Sean Lonergan from Tipperary is the referee. Kearney Inatta from Tyrone is the Longford referee for Longford-Westmeath. That's going to be a really interesting game in Pierce Park. Westmeath crushed by missing out on promotion to Wexford up against a Longford side that got promoted themselves. So it's similar enough vibes to the Carlow-Wicklow game. Armagh-Tyrone, this is probably the feature game that we'll discuss later on. That's in the Athletic Grounds. 4:15 p.m. live on RT2. Noel Mooney from Cavan, the referee. You'll notice I'm giving you the referees here. There's a point to that in a second. Sligo Leitrim, 3 o'clock in Markovic Park. Fergal Kelly from Longford is the referee. And Brendan Cawley got the call up to go to New York for New York against Roscommon.
Oh, man, Brendan. Great Gaelic Park. That's Sunday. As prestigious as getting the All-Ireland final, isn't it? Like, you get the New York game. Get a week in New York. Close to acclimatise, you know, time difference, all that good stuff.
Yeah, Paul Falloon got the Offaly Laois game, and Patrick Nealon got the trip to Ruislip for London and Mayo, the Roscommon referee.
What do the referees get for going on those away trips? Like, obviously get their flights and accommodation.
They probably have to pay for their umpires, do they?
20 grand or something? 40 grand? Cash?
I don't know. We must. Do you know what? We must try and dig it up. I can't imagine.
Well, not to be getting.
It'll take time off working on that. Five grand per umpire, and then maybe it'll.
It's an interesting question. I don't know. I can't. Yeah. I don't know, James, to be honest.
We can
GA Plus might suss it out. That's the type of stuff GA Plus are going to be covering this weekend.
There you go. That's a question. Fire that into Collie.
You should be doing interviews with the umpires. And
I think we do interview the refs, do we not? We do.
Sometimes. Yeah, you should be.
We do interview the refs.
Should be doing more of that. More of that.
Not a whole.
Gizmo or that. Behind
can
the
I,
scenes.
Connor Lynch, can I please?
I've never interviewed a ref, but I think we do, don't you?
Oh, Jesus. Can I please make the point I was trying to make? You keep interrupting me. There's a referee who wasn't in that. He was a linesman a couple of weeks ago. John Fogarty has broken it. Connor Lane has not been given a game this weekend. The photo was doing the rounds of the proximity of his eyes to Michael Murphy's tackle on Dylan Casey. Obviously, the quirk in the rule. Okay, I called it a tackle, James. I saw your look there. The quirk in the rule. Murphy isn't going to suffer a suspension after getting a yellow card, which that's another conversation altogether. But it seems like Lane has been left off. David Goff isn't doing one either, but I don't think that's as much of a surprise when he was referee the last day in that final. So, Connor Lane, has he been given a bit of a shadow punishment here? I don't know.
How many are left off? Like, is it glaringly obvious that he's been left
20
off?
In the panel?
20
I think you would have expected one.
Yeah, there's a lot of games on this weekend.
I'm just going off the vibes from John Fogarty's article, and it was, you know, semi-expected that he would have got a game this time around.
There has to be some element of, not punishment, but, you know, everyone has to realize that was not good. I mean, the picture that went around, he's literally 2 feet away and looking straight.
I thought Murphy was hitting him in the photo, like he's that close. Connor Lane's going to take one on the chin. It's not a good, it's a bad fall for him. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's not getting away from that. Like.
And is maybe it is, maybe Goff is associated with that whole thing as well then. He hasn't got enough scot-free.
Possibly, but I think when you've done Division 1 finalist, you wouldn't typically be out in Championship a week later.
But look, everyone makes mistakes.
They let the teams go out the week after, but not the refs.
The other suspension that was dealt out during the week, and Paddy, I'm wondering, is this connected to you not going to New York? Is Jared Brennan being banned for 3 months for the incident?
Definitely not. I didn't give a shit about that. I wouldn't want to go to New York. It's my children. My children have stopped me.
That's okay. Okay. So what are the Dubs going to do here? Because this is a blow because it's obviously Jerry is taking on a big job here with Dublin and it's a sickener for himself. The incident wasn't great. But a 12-week ban seems pretty strong too, but maybe, I don't know. It's the second time. I don't know what the response is in Dublin has been to this.
What's he banned from, Petty? Is he banned from
sideline duties? Everything.
Like even kids' games, everything. The whole nine yards. Which obviously in the schedule, that's putting you to what, Tommy? Like, is it All Ireland semi final stage? Would that be the timeline? Which are going to be touch and go of getting to in the first place. Like, so if it's upheld, and I don't know the ins and outs.
I'd say it's quarter final weekend.
Obviously, there's nobody. I seen that there was nobody at the launch for the Leinster Championship, which I just thought was bizarre. Not to send someone to that. I don't know why. What sort of story's going on there? But for Jer personally, of course, it's not ideal. You're going into your first championship as a Dublin manager. It's been a disappointing spring. There's been some green shoots at times, but they're relegated, knocks and niggles and things like that as well. So this compounds a challenge ahead of Dublin. You know, you feel like they need everyone aligned and pulling in the right direction if they're going to try and win this Leinster Championship and have an impact on the summer. I don't know if the plan is to appeal it. I'd imagine it probably
is. Frank Roach is saying that, just to give you the steps here, Paddy, before, sorry to interject, expected to bring the case before the Central Appeals Committee, and if that proves unsuccessful, there is speculation of a further appeal to the Disputes Resolution Authority. Cian Brannock McGinn, the Galway S&C coach, who I don't think was listed as a part of the management team. And I think Dublin were trying to use that as a way of getting off. It might end up proving a successful defence later down the line, but he's been given an 8-week suspension.
It's just not a good position to be in. You've enough on their plate to try and prepare for the championship. In Jer's defence, and we said this at the time, and not just for Jer, I think in general, anyone who's entering the pitch, coaches, Mayor Fornia's, water boys, anything like that, getting involved with players, it's a disgrace. You should just not be there. If players are going toe to toe and taking the head off each other, that's fine. That's nearly par for the course. You expect bumps and bruises. But anyone who is not a player, so that's coaches, selectors, whoever, supporters, obviously we've seen instances like that before, they should have the book thrown at them. And I think that's what was Jair's frustration, was getting involved with that, the guy from the Galway backroom team who comes in, seeing the footage, having a go at Brian Howard, like, absolute nonsense. This guy getting involved with one of the players, like, what an ego trip are you on, mate? Get the fuck out of there. Like, but in that said, Jair has got involved with him. This is what the GAA decided. It's not ideal preparation. It's not surprising that they'll appeal for it, because if it's not successful and his first championship as Dublin manager and he's not involved, can't be a training, remind the manager, can't be a training influence in the team till All-Ireland quarter-final weekend.
It's
not even going to get that far. So it's just, it's not good.
Why do they do such a ban on like all activities?
I think it's a new version of it.
He got the works. Well, he couldn't even nearly go to a game to watch it.
Was that when he slapped the book out of the referee's hand on the way?
If it's over a short period, isn't it? If it's like 12 weeks and up, like if a 4-week ban is just the match, you can still go to your kids' games or whatever it might be. But is it the length, Tommy? It's like 12 weeks and that's, you're gone.
12 weeks. So if this is upheld, he will miss the entire Leinster Championship and the first round of the All Ireland series, at the very least. So
he'd be like Mourinho going into the washing basket. But I mean, are you saying that for three months he's not going to go training? I don't know.
Minor physical interference. This is the technical term.
Can we get Conor Lane on the pod to explain this? He's in free time now.
Possibly. Any minor physical interference constitutes a 12-week ban. So even if it's a nudge, irrespective of force. Now, we'll see what happens. And it's a change from a couple of years ago. This has actually been made more punitive since Larry McCarthy's time. And they pushed it on as well from 8 to 12 weeks.
But I think he should get a ban of some sort.
That's like, crazy.
It didn't look good what happened. Like, let's be honest. He's grabbed him and your man's hit the deck. It just looked, by
your
both of them,
the deck.
It looked terrible.
What are you doing, mate? Why are you hitting the deck?
But it looked terrible.
Jesus Christ. Like.
It looked pathetic.
I think
4 weeks.
Behind the ban.
4 weeks, move on.
Yeah. So,
12 slap. They'll appeal it.
They will appeal it.
In context around us, if you're a player, we've all been on the pitch at any level, and someone from the opposition management team is getting involved, throwing shoulders, throwing the weight around. Like, what are we doing here? Like, that is just a disgrace. What's it say about that guy? What are you trying to do? Like, we're a fucking hero coming in. Like,
no, it's inexcusable.
Hitting one of the players from behind. Like, SNC coach, mate. Like, what are you doing? Like,
I think Colm Keyes is a lengthy piece in Independent today about the, I suppose, the two sides of these bans. And when this was voted through in Congress, 97.4% voted that any physical interference, and I keep using that word, but any physical interference is a 12-week ban. And this, you know, as punitive as it is, but I don't think anyone thought about it until we've seen it in action. And Jer Brennan is definitely suffering the consequences of that now. And on the flip side, Michael Murphy doesn't get a ban because he was booked during the game. So there are quirks, obviously, in the GAA suspension system. Anyways, boys, let's move on because there's games this weekend and we'll come back to that stuff over the next couple of weeks. I actually do a little bit of homework. So I'm hoping to go rapid fire through some of these questions. And Paddy, I know you were on the ball with this. I know you're ready to rock.
We don't do rapid fire. Like, we know we don't do rapid fire.
Yeah, we're doing rapid
15
fire.
15 minutes for answer.
This is going to be okay, terrible.
No, I did. I did my homework. Yeah,
okay. All right, James. Hey, Tom. I'm going to start with Paddy on this one. And I know you mentioned the Leinster Championship. But Paddy, I want to hear your favourite memory of the Provincial Championships growing up as a Gossan. Give it to me.
Favourite?
Okay. Give me something.
2002 Leinster final, Dublin's first victory in 7 years. To beat Kildare, brilliant game. Crow Park, first year of the new Crow Park. Obviously, most people remember the scenes of Armagh winning the All-Ireland that year, but Dubs won the All-Ireland with Tommy Lyons. My brother was playing. They'd lost the final in 99. To Meath, 2000, horrendously. Fuck, replay to Kildare. And they lost the 2001 Leinster final to the Royals as well. Tom. So they finally got over the line. It was a brilliant game. Alan Brogan, Darling of the Hill, a little spin, shivvy, and shot into the bottom corner with a winning goal. And I was, what was
you're
it?
You're only a pup.
13 at the time, I think, yeah. But Dublin's first Leinster, really. And that was class. It was.
Were you a yup, bro? at 13?
No. I've been sitting with my mum and dad. I didn't go over to the hill till maybe I was 16, 17 years of age.
I don't even know what a yuppa is.
But yeah, that's one of my favourite memories, definitely. Like I said, I've been to a couple of finals before. Amazing occasions and stuff. As Jimmy was saying, you go to Crow Park and you see all this stuff. But for Dublin to get a win, that's how big a Leinster title was for Dublin. There was a pitch invasion and everything. Favourite memory.
Do you know what? That sounds like if Dublin go 7 years without winning a Leinster title, I would. Do you know what? I would enjoy watching those celebrations in 7 years' time.
I bet you would.
James, give us yours. You did mention, you know, Leinster earlier on, but surely there's a different memory of you growing up.
Yeah, like in the Munster Championship, it was very much a case of when it was Kerry Cork, whoever was at home was a very strong favourite. Do you know, like going away to Páirc-Uí was always unbelievably hard. But then when it came to Killarney, I mean, I always talk about it. The atmosphere in Killarney West Kerry Cork is just incredible. And the memories that I have of the Munster Championship is always that home game against Cork. Because it happened so often. There'd often be a replay where, you know, you get two every 3 years, kind of that Kerry Cork game in Killarney. But my memory of it is working in Dan Linehan's bar in town. You've both been there. And
yeah, I've been there.
It is a great spot. I'd be doing the bottling up. So I'd be going in at like maybe 9:30, 9. And I'd be going down, sorting the kegs and doing the bottles and putting the pint bottles in the fridges and all that stuff. I'd be maybe 11 or 12 or 13 at this stage. And then the Cork Road would come in on the train or off the train and like queuing outside, waiting for 10 o'clock or 10:30 for it to open. Just a buzz. The smell of, you know, stale beer and sweat. You know, those smells that you remember.
Disgusting, but beautiful.
But yeah, they're the things you remember. And I remember just working in the bar then for those couple of hours. Unbelievable atmosphere. The Cork crowd singing the songs. Kerry Cork wouldn't be in town at this stage. It would be all Cork. And then walking up, it's a short walk from the town up the hill into Viserys Stadium, and just the simmering heat above there as well, because the final will be on in June or July, the Munster final. The heat up there, even the smells again, the cut grass and the colours and the vibrancy, and then hoping for a good result. Like, I just remember all those things in one. You know, if you were to say, what result or do I remember, I don't actually put it back to one.
We still
to one result.
Get
it's
that.
The, like, it's the occasion.
Are we? Have we gotten older and more cynical about it? And like going to Crow Park along the canal there, you know, outside O'Mahony's or McGrath's or somewhere there. Like, I don't know. Does it still have that? The Leinster final last year, Louth and Meath had that buzz of excitement. But like, I don't know. Maybe Kerry Cork this year, Jimmy.
There's so much more football going on. Much more football as well. Yeah, do you know, like it was knockout back then. And you were just talking about the qualifiers.
TV. Do you know, like, there's a lot more covered on telly, whereas if you wanted to see it and you wanted, you nearly had to go to a lot of the games.
It was like Augusta back in the day. You had to be there. Yeah. No phones. Capture it all.
Augusta. You're really going for that, Tommy.
I hope our Ulster fans don't take offence to this, but the moment that always sticks out to me is a 2001 Connacht final. My mam's a Rossi and Roscommon bet Mayo. Right. It was, I think it was 2:10 to 1:12. Anyways, whatever the score was, Gerry Lohan with a late goal for Roscommon. There was a Meath man in the middle that day. Seamus McCormick was the referee and there was, I think, 30,000 people packed into the Hyde. But I just remember the absolute sheer hysteria from the Rossies that day winning.
There'd been loads of kind of back and forths,
between Roscommon and Mayo over the last couple of years where maybe one would get the edge in the other, but that was just
the first year of the qualifiers, Tate. Did Mayo beat the Rossies then in the All Ireland?
Later on.
Am I right?
I think you're right with that.
I remember.
The qualifiers as well, like, probably did take a little bit of the do or die
jeopardy away from it,
The massive, massive jeopardy. Like, if you were to lose a championship match at home and go out, it's an absolute disaster. Nightmare scenario. So, I mean, even the pressure of those games back in the day would have been huge.
Paddy, Mayo actually lost to Westmeath and then Galway knocked out Roscommon, so they were beaten by Connacht. Went on and won the All-Ireland. I knew there was this thing in the tail for the Rossies. But anyways, that one stood out to me. And maybe you're right, James. Do you know, maybe that's a mixture. I could be wrong with dates and and goals or whatever, but it's a mixture maybe of Mayo versus Common finals back then. But yeah.
Do you know what's another memory I have of the provincials is Colin Corkery against Seamus Mynan. I'd say that's nearly the only matchup that I proper remember. Like, it would be the talk of the place beforehand. Everyone would be on about who's going to beat who got destroyed last year. It was always one-sided either way. Seamus would either do really well on Corker. Corkery had one or two games where he was absolutely amazing. So I remember seeing those scores kicked in Fassier Stadium, right, from Corkery from miles up.
Class.
It was just next level stuff. His kicking
ability. There was an unbelievable montage shared of Colin Corkery, I think, in the last year. It was absolutely class. Just on that, I'm getting distracted here. Did you see Galvin's montage? Somebody edited it together and sent it to him from his career, all moments from his career when he played. He shared it a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
I don't know, did you see this?
No, but
I'm sure I seen it come up. I actually didn't watch it.
But it was class. It just struck me that, like, every player, when they retire from intercounty football or hurling, should be handed this little maybe treasure trove of memories. And maybe they won't want to luxuriate over it. Maybe they won't want to watch it. But I just think having something like that, and maybe with all the TV coverage, there may be, we barely even know results or top scorers. So maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but it would be cool to have that. But that wasn't rapid fire. Who do you think is going to be our surprise package in one of the 2026 provincial championships? What county might do something that somebody doesn't expect? And all I need really is a county and a line. I'm not going to question you or call you out or put it up on social media for people to abuse you. I just want you to let us know what you think.
That's what you're using this for. You're looking for a clickbait here.
Do you know, do you ever see what he does?
You go first, Shane.
He takes out bits you say, right? So he'll cut out two lines.
Never.
And just make it seem like you've said something outrageous.
Edit it. It's disgusting. I'm on a podcast with Piers Morgan here. Like,
never
news of the world.
I've noticed that. And I had a different t-shirt on in the start of the video on the end. He'd merged two different weeks.
One was outdoors and the others was sitting in the
back. I ain't that good.
Jimmy, you go for a surprise package. I don't know. There always is, but I don't know.
I don't think there'd be a surprise in Munster, if I'm being honest. And then a surprise in Connacht is going to be outside of the three, so I don't think there's going to be a surprise there. In Ulster, I think Armagh and Donegal are going to keep going through. So it has to be
an I will give you one or two here, right? Because I had one or two in my mind.
Oh, sorry, tell me, go on.
One or two in my mind. Right. Derry play Antrim on the weekend of April 18th and 19th, okay?
Yeah.
The winners of Derry and Antrim play Cavan and Monaghan.
Yeah.
Then you're into an Ulster final. So I'm just saying, if Derry get a bit of a run together and they flirted with promotion from Division 2, okay, and then the other one that's a little controversial.
Is that a huge surprise though, Tommy, if Derry won the Ulster Championship?
I know, I'm probably pushing it a bit.
Well, if they won it, it would be a surprise.
Yeah. And the other surprise that I had, and this may be clickbait, but Louder not being talked about to go back-to-back for Leinster titles here. They just aren't. The Dubs are still favourites in the bookmakers. Everyone's raving about Mead after winning Division 2 and getting promoted. But I just think Loud are primed, that team, to go back-to-back again this year. And just speaking to Sam Mulroy about it, he had a real laugh at the start when I said, nobody's giving you hope. And he said, that's how we like it.
I think it would be a surprise, Tom. Like, you can't say the reigning champions are going to be surprised. Loud, Mead got to Northern semi-final. You can't say they're going to be surprised if they do win Leinster. And the Dubs are there every year. So outside of those three might be a surprise. But those three, I reckon, are the top three.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But I guess my point is more that Loud aren't really being talked up the way that they probably should be at the minute.
Yeah, that's fair.
I just find that surprising because I think I feel there's very, very little between those three teams in the Leinster Championship.
Probably same in Connacht. Probably very few between Mayo and Galway.
Same in Connacht. You think maybe the momentum, maybe like Galway are going for five in a row. Like, you feel like they're nearly like Mayo a few years back. Their eyes are on a bigger prize. Mayo with the buzz under Andy. I'll probably take that. I know we'll get into predictions for the Connacht Championship, but like a surprise. And again, you go back 2 or 3 months, you wouldn't say this is a surprise, but I just feel like Tyrone can't be as bad as they're playing. I'm basing this purely
they can.
On. I'm not like unencumbered by the facts here. I'm just going purely off vibes. They can't be that bad.
They can.
Do Tyrone have something, a little sting in the athletic grounds on Sunday, and could they maybe nick an Ulster championship? Like, I would have had that at the start of the season, but it's just been that the spring has been so bad for them. I think now it would be a surprise if Tyrone got to an Ulster final and won the Ulster Championship, but I agree with Jimmy. Cork are going all right, but I expect Kerry to win it. Toss up between the three teams in Connacht, toss up between the three teams in Leinster, really. And the Ulster Championship, on form, you'd say Donegal are probably going to win three in a row. Maybe pushed by Armagh, but like Monaghan have gone way back. They're a team for a decade who you'll always have in the mix. Hear your point, but I don't know, it's hard to see a surprise, but maybe Tyrone if they get something together.
Yeah, we'll see. We talk about most competitive provincial championship. I know we're all excited about Leinster, but it probably is Connacht, the three teams in Division 1, 3rd, 4th and 5th in Division 1. Is it the most competitive? Has it overtaken Ulster in terms of the most competitive province at the moment?
I still think the football played in Ulster makes it ultra competitive. Like, I don't think there's going to be too many drubbings in there. I think you have to be at it every single week to get through. I think it's a huge disadvantage for the Ulster teams in terms of winning the All-Ireland. Like, there is no doubt that Munster and formerly Leinster was a big advantage. You know, you're nearly in, if you're looking to win the All-Ireland, you're nearly guaranteed a Munster final spot. Next thing you're into a group or the next stage, easy enough. Like, the Ulster crowd are going to be taking scalps off each other to get through each round. So I still think that's the most competitive by a mile. But, and taking out Standard, obviously, the Standard maybe you could say has dropped a little bit with a lot of teams operating in Division 2 now. But I think it's still the hardest one to win.
Fair. Is there a player you're excited to see off the back of the league campaign there? This can be quick in the month of April and the start of May, the first two weekends of May. Who are you excited to watch across the four? And this is actually, we put up a question on Instagram and a few people are asking this one.
Each province team? Or just
yeah, no, anyone that you're excited off the back of their league performances.
Oh, I want to see Colby McDonald. Hopefully he makes his championship debut this weekend.
No, he won't. He won't. So, guaranteed he won't. But he will be. He will, no, but
I'm sure to see him.
If they win, he'll be there for a potentially Roscommon semi-final.
Many views of him. I'm excited to see Derek Canavan, as I always am. I feel there's a lot of talk about him, which I'm sure he's not enjoyed. It's the biggest game. It's one of the biggest games we're going to see in the whole provincial championships, and it's on the opening weekend, so everyone's going to be glued to that match. And what can he do? They're my two, really. I enjoy watching Mead as a whole and the way they're playing it, and I think it's angling for a Dublin Mead game. I think it'll be a spectacular game. But in terms of players, I want to see Derek Canavan. I know McElhone is there as well, but you know how highly I rate Canavan, and there's been a lot of chat about him. I'd love to see him go out and just go, lads, I'm still here on demand. And Kobe, for me.
Kobe would definitely be one for me as well, where I want to see him kick on and see Kenny kick on and what they do with
championship,
him.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I'd definitely watch a Mayo game if he was playing, especially for him. Then Jordan Morris, I get excited watching him. I think he brings something different. And then you have, you know, the three Galway lads again. I'd love to see Walsh and Comer back in action. I genuinely would. I think that we're missing a beat in the GA, not having them there. And then I'd like to see Finnerty again take it up another level. That he's already taken up a level. I think he's one of the top fours in the country. But this,
do you think if they come back, that will impact Finnerty?
I don't.
Maybe negatively.
I don't think so. I think he has now put the shoulders back. I think
he has, but if they come back and now Galway players going, oh, I'm going to pop it to the Comer there, I'm going to give it to Walsh, and Finnerty's going, oh, here, I'm the man here for the last 12 months while these guys are out.
It's a good sign of him to be able to still do his stuff with them, you know, and not let it affect him. So I think that if that's a challenge, fair enough, but I expect him to be able to deliver.
What about Dermot Murtagh, Jimmy? You left Dermot Murtagh out of your top 100 forwards and he was one of the top scorers in the league.
Top 10.
Look forward to seeing him.
And I asked everyone who mentioned it to me, would you put Murtagh in? And they said, probably just outside. So the only
did
people
you only
that came
ask
back
Christina
were every single person from Roscommon.
Did you ask Christina and your daughter? And that was it.
Yes,
and both
yes,
of them Dada. Agreed with you. Yes, Dada.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, we're coming back after the break, and we're going to rattle through the games themselves and a couple of predictions. But really quickly now, because this is going to be used to whip you with at the end of May, your four provincial winners. Paddy Andrews, after you, four counties.
Kerry, Mayo, Trinor for Donegal, and the Dubs are going to win Leinster.
James.
I'm going Armagh, Ulster. And Donegal probably to win the All-Ireland, but Armagh, Ulster, Meath, Galway, and Kerry with a big challenge.
Interesting. And if anyone cares to throw this back in my face in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going Armagh, Ulster, Loud and Leinster, Kerry, Galway.
Oh, wait, five in a row.
There we go. I think there's going to be a couple of surprises along
the way. It's good. Like, there will. For years, we're all picking the same, so it's good. It's a bit different here.
We would have picked the same over the last couple of years. The four
I think
the same,
so too.
So we all picked a different Leinster winner.
And we all picked a different... No, we didn't pick a different Connacht winner. And I've heard about Roscommon. I've heard about Roscommon.
Rossies are loving this. Like, they know. Yeah. The Rossies think we give them a hard time on this part.
I think it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
Okay, lads. Good work so far. We're back in a minute, looking ahead to the nine games. A couple of really interesting bits and pieces we want to get stuck into. We'll be back right after this. You are welcome back to the Football Pod. It is, I suppose, the eve of Championship. It's our big Championship preview. Nine games this weekend. We've kind of briefly spoken about a couple of them here. London Mayo, New York Roscommon are the two games in Connacht that are taking a place abroad. Sligo are meeting Leitrim as well. Just to give you a little quick rundown, when Sligo and Leitrim met in the league last year, Sligo beat them by 22 points. And the last time they met in Championship was 2 years ago, and Sligo won that one by 9, by 15 points to 6. They didn't have great league campaigns this time around, either of them. They were kind of up and down a little bit. That game was at Markovitch Park, and the winners go on to take on Galway. So I think it'll be a tight affair. It could be a bit of fun, but Sligo probably edging that one under Desi Sloan and Eamon O'Hara, who were both playing the last time Sligo won the Connacht Championship in 2007. London and Mayo, lads, as I mentioned, Kobe McDonald and Dara Byrne, part of the 20s, will play no part in London. Both have starred for their 20s so far. They had an exciting win against Roscommon last week. They've got Galway, I think, next week. Plan is they'll play the senior game if Mayo and Roscommon both win in that Connacht semi-final, because they're fated to meet each other if they win their games. And in terms of injuries for Mayo at the minute, their vice-captain Darren McHale is the only long-term absentee. Matt Ruan is back available. Tommy Conroy was back off the bench in their last league game. Conor Loftus, Enda Hesh and Duncan McHugh are all short-term absentees. That was confirmed by Andy Moran at the Connacht launch. New York Roscommon. New York or Roscommon might be the last Connacht team to make the annual trip over. It is the end of the current rota, and it's up for discussion given the costs involved. Connacht were talking about this last year. John Prenti, the Connacht Council gave a €50,000 grant, but it costs teams an estimated $250,000 every year to travel over to New York, and obviously costs are rising across the board for everything. So there's a conversation being had about that at the minute. They reckon that Galway and Mayo can clean their face with their fundraising efforts, but the other counties don't have the capabilities of raising quite the same amount of money. New York made their entry into the Connacht Championship back in 1999. They played in Castlebar that day against Mayo, lost 3-13 to 10 points. They'd lose in Tuam the following year to Galway, to Roscommon in the Hyde the year after that, before their first game in New York was in 2002 against Sligo, I believe. Obviously had that historic win against Leitrim on penalties in April 23, and last year held their own for 40 minutes against Galway before eventually losing by 17 points, 328 to 20 points, before being beaten by Offaly in the Tailteann Cup. There's challenges happening in New York at the minute with ICE, with visas, with people going to Australia more so than going to New York, young people these days. But they have 23 of the 40 of their panel were involved last year. So it'll be interesting to see how Roscommon get on there. Anything you want to get stuck into on the Connacht Championship, or will we move on?
The only thing that I'm surprised that Byrne and Kobe aren't playing.
I think it's a case of load, James. They're training with the seniors, playing with the 20s at the minute.
That's fine. But say if they win, which they realistically will, then who do they have if they win? Roscommon.
Roscommon if they beat New York.
No. Yeah, sorry. If that's...
It'd like, be a nice game for both to play.
It would be a nice game.
Make their championship debut. Exactly. 25 minutes.
It's
there
a big ask to go into that game first.
Correct.
And, like, you know my thoughts on 20s at the moment. I think 21s was massive. 20s, I don't know. For those two, I think those two are going to be big players for them. I'd be getting minutes into them, get that championship feeling, get the nerves out the way, and then into that big one. Personally, I'm surprised.
It's. I think it's a very fair point. I had read somewhere that they're actually, and I could be wrong with this, I had read that they're traveling with the team in one place, but not in the 26. And then I read elsewhere that because of logistics, they're not going to travel with the team, given the amount of time they'll miss out on. So the word is they're not playing. So we'd have to take Andy Moran as well. But I do get your point. Galway are obviously chasing 5 in a row, Paddy, trying to emulate their great 56-60 team. Galway have won 4 Connacht Mayo, and 4
Mayo did 5 in a row under James Jordan, did they not?
They were the last team to do it between 2011 and 15. So Mayo have done it twice. Galway have done it twice as well. So that's Connacht, and Galway lie in wait of the winners of Sligo and Leitrim. Let's just move on to Ulster here, and let's talk Armagh Tyrone.
It's the game of the weekend.
Yeah, give us, Paddy, what way are you leaning on this one? Live on RT on the Sunday, 4:15, Athletic Grounds. Tyrone failed to get promoted. Armagh survived on the last day, but we're probably better than results had illustrated.
Yeah, it's an odd one. Like I say, start of the season, you would say you'd high hopes for both of these teams. You know, I'm a fan of Armagh at their best, but they're so Jekyll and Hyde, and the spring just emphasised that more than ever before. So look, they would have been obviously, and the same for Malik O'Rourke with Tyrone, building towards this game. You know, when the league doesn't go well, it's easy to kind of go, well, look, it's only the league, we're focused on the championship. That would have been the case for both of these teams. The fact that it's in Armagh as an advantage, the fact that if you go purely on what we've seen year to date from that Tyrone team, you would say they ain't going to get a result here. But you're going back on tradition and history. Obviously, this is a rivalry. These teams don't like each other. There's enough quality in the Tyrone team. If things click, if Matty Donnelly is used as the pivot and kind of links play for the likes of McElhone, for Canavan and these guys, can Tyrone win the game? Of course they can. But we just haven't seen anything over the last 2 months. If anything, they seem to be going the other way. Like that is one of the biggest surprises from all four divisions. Tyrone, not even not getting promoted, not being in with Arses Roar getting promoted. And again, the last day out against Cork, same story, just not having that edge, that all the positive things you associate with a Tyrone team at their best. Just haven't seen anything like that. On the other side for Armagh, if they click, we've seen them play for 10 minutes, we've seen them play for 20 minutes, we've seen them playing for maybe a half. They're inconsistent within games, never mind from game to game. So McGeaney's going to be all over that. I think they're in a better place than Tyrone. The fact that it's at home, and when it does click for Armagh, I think they're a better team. They have a higher ceiling than this Tyrone team at the minute. So I think Armagh will win. I'm just interested to see what performance we get from both of these teams. Are Tyrone, is it terminal? Are they as bad as what we've seen in the spring? And Armagh, can they get maybe 50 minutes or 60 minute performance that really catapults them up to, as Jimmy said, maybe win the Ulster Championship and be contenders for the All-Ireland? That's what you want to see. But I think it's a great game to kick off the opening weekend of the Championship.
Yeah, James, both counties were missing a lot of players during their league campaign. We know Armagh had an awful lot of injuries and player retiring. Niall Morgan missed a lot of games for Tyrone. Oisin Kane came into goals. Darren McCurry was in and out. Michael McKernan, again, injuries, missed a lot of games. Darragh Canavan, too, obviously missed some games as well. Niall Devlin was nominated for an All-Star last year. They got to an All-Ireland semi-final. You know, are we forgetting that a little bit too? Or is that just maybe the fact that we're talking about Tyrone in this regard, is that we do hold them at a higher standard?
Yeah, I think we hold them at a very high standard. And I'm worried about them this weekend, if I'm being honest. I watched a few games of Tyrone in Division 2 this year. And I said early on in the league, I said these fellas aren't going up. They're not there yet. They'd want to seriously get something going. And then I watched their Cork game, and I thought they were miles off it. And I think that, again, on paper, they have excellent attackers, but they're not working cohesively at the moment. Like, Matty Donnelly was absolutely sensational against Cork, right?
But and Cavan in the earlier games as well.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. But he shouldn't be nearly their best every week. Do you know, like, he should almost be complimenting the other fellas, not them completely relying on him. And that's a compliment to Matty Donnelly, because I think he's an outstanding player and a stalwart to be there so long. I think the pace, the power, the energy, the intensity, all those buzzwords that Armagh are operating at is next level compared to Tyrone. From the games I've seen, there was a period in the Cork game where, against Tyrone, I thought that Tyrone are just letting Cork punch themselves out here. They're standing off them on purpose. That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is a tactic. But it wasn't. It was just the way the game went. And that's the last game of the National League, which is when you're nearly at championship level. So I think Armagh are going to be too powerful for them, too ready, too motivated. I just think both camps are in different places. And I think Armagh will hurt them from their half-back line. I think
if
Tyrone play anything like they did against Cork, right, they didn't touch Cork between the 2:45s. It was only when they got near to the goal they decided to tackle. That's when Armagh had the damage done, because they've got the pace up, they've got fellas on the loop. And look, with Turbitt's obviously back now, he had a couple of games off the bench. I wonder, will they start him? He still looks sharp. So I think
Armagh in good form.
Comfortably.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Paddy, I know you got a hop. You got a meeting in work. And James, we'll just do 5 more minutes after this to get stuck into a few of the others. Paddy, just prediction before you go.
I said, I think Armagh, that we spoke with Tyrone 2 years ago, the year after they won the All-Ireland, when they don't have an edge, it's so anti-Tyrone. Everything you associate with Tyrone at their best is that hard to play against, the contact all over the pitch, not giving an inch. We have seen none of that. Absolutely not in any game this season. And if you play an Armagh team and stand off them and allow them to get that running game going in front of their own crowd, like, Armagh have a bit of a chip on their shoulder as well after the National League campaign. It's hard to make a case for Tyrone with what we've seen to date. You're only going, could they upset them based on years ago and tradition from Tyrone? I don't see it happening with this group at the minute. I think Armagh are going to win this game by 6-7 points.
Perfect. We'll catch up next week, Paddy. Enjoy the opening weekend of the All-Ireland Championship. James, Armagh Tyrone. See you, buddy. Armagh Tyrone gets Ulster off to a cracker. The quarterfinals then take place on the 18th and 19th and the 25th and 26th. On the 25th and 26th, we'll have Donegal Down and Fermanagh playing the winners of Armagh Tyrone. And then Cavan and Monaghan and Derry Antrim, who are on the same side of the draw, face each other in the other quarterfinals on the 18th. Let's just move to Leinster before we finish on Munster, because there's a couple of interesting bits in Munster. We mentioned already Carlo Wicklow and the colour that's going to be at play in that game. Westmeath and Longford's going to be a really interesting one too. And we spent a bit of time with Mark McHugh last year at our roadshow. He cut his cloth with Westmeath in the background last year. We know he's obviously won his All-Ireland under Jim McGuinness and been coached by plenty of others over the years as well, and still involved with Kilcar. McHugh will have been so disappointed with the manner in which Westmeath let promotion slip from their grasps. And Longford saved themselves under Mike Solon with a late burst to come back from 11 down against Wicklow to get promotion. So two camps and very different perspectives going in. Are you expecting Westmeath to deliver a response now this week?
I am. I think Westmeath will. It's interesting how you see those two kind of different mindsets or two mentalities. That's where the managers really make their money. Like, I know we talk about tactics and the game comes down to kickouts, absolutely. But like, you need to get everyone on the same page after either a great win or a horrible loss. So like, the window is so short to get right. I think that's where McHugh and these fellas will have seriously put work in to mentally get their teams ready for championship. Because the work is done body-wise, even tactically-wise. You know, it's the excitement of the championship is coming up, but everyone needs to be on the same page. I fancy Westmeath. I think they have a lot of quality front to back. I'm expecting them, if you know, they could be the surprise package of the Leinster Championship, but that's going to be a great game. Like, yeah, I fancy Westmeath to win that one and go on and have a good Leinster Champ.
We have a question on Instagram as well. Do you think Kildare, given the fact that they're guaranteed Sam Maguire, will... the question was kind of framed, will they ride off Leinster and just get ready for the All-Ireland series?
No. Like, Championship is... Even that word, like, it just lifts you. Whether you're secured in your position in something else or not, that gets players going and it gets them up for it. And it's a great way to get to take people to another level. So I'd be very disappointed in a group, you know, if for some reason they took the eye off the ball because of that. I think they'll rattle it. I don't think they're going to be, you know, competing in the final or anything. But
you never know.
I don't think they're there.
You never know.
But
it's a young Kildare side, as we've mentioned. They obviously were very disappointed with their league campaign, but you know, there's a high ceiling there. They'll go a long way under Brian Flanagan over the next couple of seasons.
There is, and they've had success in the 20s, and so have Tyrone. But
they're going to need a big moment in April, though, to kind of bring it all together.
We're seeing how difficult it is to bring people through because of the physicality, because of the demands, the change in load, like the amount you're asked to do in the gym and on the field and tactically, meetings, showing responsibility, showing leadership. Like, it is night and day 20s to seniors. We've seen it time and time again. So it's just taking them an extra little bit of time. It's coming.
Yeah.
But it's taking a little bit of time. I wonder, will it be this championship? I'm not sure. Maybe the next one.
It's that little bit of hurt that they're absorbing, perhaps, for future years. So it is Offaly Laois go on to play the winners of Kildare in the quarterfinals. Meath are awaiting the winners of Longford and Westmead. And the Dubs are awaiting the winners of Carlow and Wicklow. Loud and Wexford already scheduled for the weekend of April 18th and 19th. Offaly Laois, we mentioned all the injury words. It's very hard to predict this one because I actually have no idea what bodies Offaly have back. And if Offaly had their bodies back and they were playing the football that we'd seen them play the year beforehand, obviously it's been tight between these two in Championship over the years, but you would fancy Offaly, but it's so difficult after the spring they've had, you know, straight down to Division 3. Mm. Laois had a couple of decent results, obviously operating in a lower tier, but just there's a huge... It's a huge energy sapper in ways, and I suppose it's a confidence crusher too when you're losing games like that.
It is. And in fairness to Offaly, they've been riding high. And this year was a little bit of a little puncture into the balloon for them. Again, it's going to take good management to get the feel-good factor back up and running there. If you look at talent-wise, they have it. Obviously, they're down bodies. Can they raise it again for Championship? It's going to be hard. I personally would rather, as I said earlier, I'd rather the team coming in with that bit of confidence where they coast in. Because sometimes when you're constantly asking questions of each other and, you know, you're draining confidence from each other and, you know, the manager's not sure what his best team is, it just leads to doubts. And I'd rather come into Championship without those doubts.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Let's move to Munster. And a lot of comments, a lot of questions asking us to discuss the Waterford footballers. Charlie on Instagram, Connor on Instagram, a couple of others saying, lads, you got to get stuck into this. Waterford football is on the up. And yes, they are, James. They're facing Tip this week in the Munster Senior Championship. But at under 20s, a minor level, they are on a phenomenal run over the last couple of weeks. In the 20s Championship, they've beaten Limerick and Tipperary already. They're on to phase two now, where they're facing Kerry in Waterford on Thursday night. That one's going to be live on Clubber. Waterford have invested a lot of hope into this group. And, you know, the last day, Paddy McCarthy kicked 6 points. Joe Brennan hit 5 against Tip. They were total control throughout that game. And it's going to be interesting to see how they progress with this group and can they bring Waterford football on another level? Because they've been at the basement for a long time. And I was chatting to Conor Murray about this. Very talented footballer. His club are incredibly competitive in Munster Club Championship whenever Waterford crowned their champions. And it's just like, I'd say the fellas that are 30 to 40 on the Waterford hurling panel could be fabulous footballers. Sure. But obviously hurling takes precedence in a lot of counties and Waterford is one of them. So the Waterford Miners as well on Easter Monday, back-to-back victories in the Munster Minor Championship. Another brilliant win against Tipperary in that one too. So they're on the rise. Can they make it 3 out of 3 against Tip? They obviously had a big championship win against them a couple of years ago. When they met in Thurles a couple of weeks back, the official attendance was 141 people. So hopefully in Fraherfield, and there's very passionate football people on the Waterford Tip border, hopefully there is a bit more of a ferocious crowd for championship. Maybe they were just saving themselves.
Well, even the wins for the Miners and the 20s, like that stirs something in everyone. So if they got a championship win in the seniors, it would seriously galvanise them. Like look what Lowe did last year. Obviously they had the success at all levels.
And next, but there was a wave.
It's like a wave, isn't it? Where you're just the enthusiasm and everyone's talking about it and you want to be involved in those setups. So it could be the start of something.
Could be. Limerick, again, one of these counties that have had a difficult spring campaign, a lot of injuries. They're relegated straight down to Division 4, back to the Basement Division after their progress last year, punctured, you might say, like Offaly's progress, like Kildare's progress over the last little while. A couple of questions in here now. This game is taking place in Porkycueve. It's flip-flop between Porkyrin and Porkycueve, and I think it's Porkycueve that has taken place. And apologies now, go double-check it if you're going to it. Don't be taking my word for it. Mm-hmm. But a couple of questions in wondering, can Cork give Munster a rattle in general? I suppose they're taking Limerick for granted there, but can they rattle Kerry later this month if Kerry get the better of Clare?
100%
you'd expect.
100% they can. I mean, look, obviously I'm going to say it's one game at a time for Cork. They have to get over this one first, and Limerick are not going to roll over. You know, Limerick love being the underdog there and coming in and try and upset them, and they've had they've given Cork a lot of trouble over the years. The only thing is, I think Cork are in a really, really good place. Their best players are playing outstanding football. Like Chris O'Jones has had an excellent league. Sherlock had a brilliant final. Colm O'Callaghan midfield has been outstanding. Tommy Wild centre back, you know, looks so comfortable. Like just looks to be playing great football. I think all those players, when all your best players are playing really well, it's just so much easier for everyone, and everyone has so much confidence. I think that's where Cork are at the moment. I fully expect them to win. I expect them to win comfortably. I expect them to get goals. I think they'll go for them. They also have firepower off the bench, obviously with Hurley back. He's still going to be very dangerous under the new rules. A huge player for them. And then I think that they'll bounce into a Munster final, and have no doubt about it, Kerry, I'm not saying we'll be worried, but people down in Kerry are expecting a tough, tough final if it is Cork.
It'll be in Killarney too if it is Kerry and Cork.
Yeah. So like Killarney's been baying for that game, you know, for a really competitive Kerry-Cork game where Cork travel. Like when Cork get behind their team, they're a different level, but the supporters can be very, can be hot and cold with them. You know, they can completely pull against them at times nearly and be detrimental to their success at times when they go against them. So I think that the Cork supporters are behind them at the moment. If they can get over Limerick, it's going to be a great chance for Munster in the Munster final.
It's a big if, but if they get there, will the spare room be ready for me on Sunday, May the 10th, if it's a Cork Kerry?
It will. Munster final? I'll have the tent pitched outside for you, Tom.
And then is there a bus going from Newcastle West to from your door to Killarney? I'm only joking.
I'm 2 kilometres, I reckon. No, 2 kilometres to the field from here. So
that's fine.
I'll give you a bear on the bike.
I'll bring my sleeping bag. Sounds good, James. Cycling to a Munster final. I think they were memories of your youth. Thanks for sticking with me for an extra couple of minutes. Paddy was very good there as well, jumping in on his lunch break. It's Tuesday. It's our big championship preview. It's going to be a hell of a weekend. I hope you all enjoy it and look after yourselves. James O'Donoghue, thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Fair play.
That's your football pod. We'll see you next Monday.